This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapters 23 through 26 will be the text that Pastor Sandy covers today.
Now concerning his sons and the many oracles about him and the repairing of the house of God, indeed they are written in the annals of the book of the kings. Then Amaziah, his son, reigned in his place. Chapter 25. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. Here's a man who went through the motions, but without the devotion. Here was a man who was outwardly righteous, but he had impure motives. He looked good, but as Jesus said of the Pharisees, he was like a whitewashed tomb full of dead men's bones. This man, Amaziah, he was all show and no substance. Verse 3. Now it happened as soon as the kingdom was established for him that he executed his servants who had murdered his father, the king. However, he did not execute their children, but did as it was written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, "The fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall die for his own sin." Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and set over them captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, according to their fathers' houses, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them to be 300,000 choice men, able to go to war, who could handle spear and shield. Obviously, Amaziah is preparing for battle. He also hired 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, for 100 talents of silver. He hired an additional 100,000 Israeli mercenaries from the northern kingdom to help him fight. But a man of God came to him saying, "O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel." Remember, they had given themselves to idolatry. "Now with any of the children of Ephraim, but if you go, be gone, be strong in battle. Even so, God shall make you fall before the enemy, for God has power to help and to overthrow." The prophet warns Amaziah not to ally himself with the idolaters to the north. This is what got his predecessors in trouble. You remember from last week? Remember the problem with Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah? They all allied themselves with Israel. They all became unequally yoked with unbelievers. And when you join forces, when you become legally entangled with an unbeliever, you put yourself in the line of fire. When God's judgment comes upon that unbeliever, you could very well be caught up in it. Then Amaziah said to the man of God, "But what shall we do about the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel?" Amaziah said, "I've already invested in this. I paid those mercenaries 100 pounds of silver, 100 talents of silver. That's a lot of silver. What about the money?" And the man of God answered, "The Lord is able to give you much more than this." Now, here is a hindrance to obeying God that we often face. "What about my investment? God, I've got 20 years in this company. I can't just pick up and move even if you tell me. What about my investment? Oh, Lord, I know he's an unbeliever. I know it's wrong to date him. But we've been going out for 5 years now. Look at what I've got invested. I can't just give that up. God, I've got an A in the course already. If I take a stand now, the teacher might get upset and it might jeopardize my grade. Look at my investment." How many times do we think that? Hey, listen to what the prophet says to Amaziah in verse 9. He says, "The Lord is able to give you much more than this." Yes, there is often a cost to obey God. You might lose your investment, but God is faithful to reimburse your loss. Remember what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 19? He said, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." In other words, it really is impossible to sacrifice anything for God, because he not only returns your investment, but he adds some to boot. So Amaziah discharged the troops that had come to him from Ephraim to go back home. Therefore, their anger was greatly aroused against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. In their eyes, Judah had reneged on the deal. Well, then Amaziah strengthened himself, and leading his people, he went to the Valley of Salt, the Dead Sea, and he killed 10,000 of the people of Seir. Also, the children of Judah took captive 10,000 alive, brought them to the top of the rock, and cast them down from the top of the rock so that they all were dashed in pieces. Amaziah won a decisive victory over Judah's ancient enemy, the Edomites. But as for the soldiers of the army, those soldiers of fortune that he had hired from Israel, which Amaziah had discharged, so that they would not go with him to battle, they raided the cities of Judah from Samaria to Beth-horon, killed 3,000 in them, and took much spoil. While Amaziah was preoccupied with Edom to the south, these disappointed Israeli mercenaries, they pillaged a few Judean towns on their way back home. And what happens next has to be one of the stupidest stunts in all the scriptures. What is this man thinking? Amaziah has just defeated the Edomites. He has routed them. He has trounced them. You remember, they all were dashed to pieces. That's a defeat. Obviously, their gods did them no good. But for some strange reason, Amaziah chooses to worship the gods of the people he's just defeated. Verse 14. "Now it was so, after Amaziah came from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the people of Seir, set them up to be his gods, and bowed down before them and burned incense to them. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Amaziah, and he sent him a prophet who said to him, 'Why have you sought the gods of the people which could not rescue their own people from your hand?'" This made no sense. Evidently, Amaziah's victory had gone to his head. And when you get intoxicated with pride, you don't always think straight. Suddenly, this king assumes he's invincible. He no longer needs God. He prefers the God of the Edomites because he is greater than those gods. Amaziah gets the big head. He makes one of those fat heads of himself and puts it on his wall in his bedroom, you know. He's somebody stuck on himself. Verse 16, "So it was, as he talked with him, that the king said to him, 'Have we made you the king's counselor? Cease! Why should you be killed?' King Amaziah threatens God's spokesman. Then the prophet ceased and said," throws in one final word of warning, "'I know that God has determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not heeded my advice. Judgment awaits this proud king.'" Now Amaziah, king of Judah, asked advice and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, "Come, let us face one another in battle." Amaziah is fresh off a victory over Edom. And this has gone to his head. He thinks he's invincible. And so he turns around and he challenges a much stronger kingdom to the north, the kingdom of Israel. Understand what this is like. This past Friday night, Sal Quinette went up to South Forsyth, and they won like 30-26, I think it was. Go Comets. But let's say they come back and they get the big head this week. You know, we won a game. Let's say they win another game. Let's say they beat Brookwood. That would be a blessing. Let's say they beat Brookwood, and they think, "Oh, we can beat anybody." And then they call up Mark Rick on the phone, and they challenge the Georgia Bulldogs. They don't stand a chance. And this is what happened to Amaziah. Success went to his head. Hey, UGA is no high school team, and Israel was no Edom. And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, this is Mark Rick writing back to Sal Quinette, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon, he just called Amaziah a thistle. Amaziah, you're a pine needle, buddy. That's all you are. The thistle in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in, now that's me, the cedar. You're the thistle, I'm the cedar. Saying, give your daughter to my son as wife. And a wild beast that was in Lebanon passed by and trampled the thistle. Indeed, you say that you have defeated the Edomites, and your heart is lifted up to boast. Stay at home now. Why should you meddle with trouble that you should fall, you and Judah with you? The Israeli king, you know, he tries to be kind. You know, why are you going to do this and spill innocent blood? Back off, buddy. You don't know what you're getting into. But Amaziah would not heed, for it came from God that he might give them into the hand of their enemies because they sought the gods of Edom. God's judgment here is at work. And so Joash, king of Israel, went out, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, faced one another at Beth Shemesh, which belongs to Judah. And Judah was defeated by Israel, and every man fled to his tent. Then Joash, the king of Israel, captured Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, at Beth Shemesh, and he brought him to Jerusalem and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. For he took all the gold and silver and all the articles that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, the treasures of the king's house and hostages, and returned to Samaria. He ransacked Judah, Jerusalem, and he took the treasure of Jerusalem back with him to Samaria. What a humiliating, what a humbling lesson for the thistle king, Amaziah. Now Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived 15 years after the death of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel. Amaziah reigned nearly 3 decades. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, from first to last, indeed, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? After the time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, and they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. Then they brought him on horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. Amaziah died in a political coup. Chapter 26. Now all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father, Amaziah. Evidently, King Uzziah was a populist leader. He was the people's choice. Notice we're told that the people made him king. 2 Kings also refers to him as Azariah. So Uzziah, Azariah, same person. He built Eilath, which is Eilat today. It's the beautiful Israeli resort down on the Gulf of Aqaba on the Red Sea. And he restored it to Judah after the king rested with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. We've had a 6-year-old king. Now we have a 16-year-old king. And I'm not sure which one I would prefer to live under. I know this for a fact. Every time they got in the royal chariot, he wanted to drive. Imagine a sophomore in high school on the throne. Zac Efron would be the Secretary of State. Sophia Bush would be the Attorney General. LeBron James would be head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And Justin Timberlake would be the Surgeon General. Uzziah took the throne at 16 years of age, but he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. Wow, 55 decades. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And here's the reason for his long stint on the throne. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now Uzziah went out and made war against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabna, and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him. And this was the key. Against the Philistines, against the Arabians who lived in Gur Baal, and against the Meunites. That was a very individualistic society, the Meunites. And also the Ammonites brought a tribute to Uzziah. Now his fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt, for he became exceedingly strong. And Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttresses of the wall. Then he fortified them. Also, he built towers in the desert. He dug many wells, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel. Notice this, for he loved the soil. What an interesting phrase. He loved the soil. Remember the Pike Nursery slogan, play in the dirt again? Well, apparently Uzziah liked to garden. You know, my wife loves the soil. She's always out gardening, digging something up, replanting this, pruning that. My wife loves the soil. She just likes to get a little dirt under her fingernails from time to time. That was Uzziah. He was a farmer at heart. Verse 11. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of fighting men who went out to war by companies, according to the number on their roll as prepared by these three men. The total number of chief officers of the mighty men of valor was 2,600, and under their authority was an army of 307,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Notice his army wielded mighty power. Then Uzziah prepared for them, for the entire army, shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and slings to cast stones or giant catapults. He threw the stones through the air through these giant catapults. And he made devices, or literally inventions, in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners, to shoot arrows and large stones. So his fame spread far and wide, for he was marvelously helped till he became strong. Uzziah was a military genius. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Once again, success goes to his head. And now Uzziah becomes prideful. You know, I think sometimes our successes are more danger to us than our trials. You know, our trials only force us to our knees. They remind us of our need for God and bring us back to Him. It's our successes that can be so deceiving and that can draw us away from the Lord. This is what happens to Uzziah. His heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Understand, ancient Israel had a strict separation between church and state. The Levitical priests were not to be kings, and the kings were from the tribe of Judah. They were never to be priests. You are a king, you are a king. You are a priest, you are a priest. But no, never should one try to be the other. Evidently, Uzziah became bored with civil authority. He was a king. After a while, so what? Real power. It's being a priest, having some clout with God. And so Uzziah attempts to climb the ecclesiastical ladder. Religious authority is now what he wants. And so he oversteps his bounds. He takes up the duties of the high priest, and he enters the temple to offer incense to God. Uzziah is guilty of the ugliest of all the varieties of pride, spiritual pride. Thinking that you're more before God than you truly are. And so Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men, and they withstood King Uzziah. This was a brave act. You remember, Uzziah was strong. He was a mighty king. He could order heads to roll. But the priests come in and say, what are you doing? This is not your place. You're a king. You're not a priest. But he said, it is not for you. But he said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor before the Lord God. The priest stands up to the king, and he orders Uzziah out of the temple. This took nerve. This took boldness. This is the king of Judah. He's famous throughout the world. In the civil arena, nobody told Uzziah what to do. Who does this priest think he is? Then Uzziah, he became furious. And literally the word means boiling. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And I'm sure those 80 priests were waiting for the king to drop the censer, pull out his sword, and lop off the head of Azariah. But God beats Uzziah to the punch. While he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord. Instantly, a spot of leprosy appeared right on his forehead beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead, he was leprous. So they thrust him out of the place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because he knew the Lord had struck him. A leper in the temple was the ultimate in uncleanness. And as soon as this patch of uncleanness appeared on Uzziah, he lost all credibility. He lost all clout. It was obviously that God was displeased with him and that God had judged him. Guys, I want you to notice this. Uzziah desired to serve God, but by his own rules. I know a lot of people like that. They want to serve God, but by their own rules. He was too proud to truly submit to God. He served God really only to serve himself. And God don't play that game. Here's proof. Verse 21. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. He dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. You know, it's sad, but Uzziah lived the rest of his life in shame and isolation. Which, by the way, is usually what happens to proud people. They usually run off everybody that might love them or care for them. Most proud people do end up living their older years in shame and in isolation, even if they're not struck with leprosy. Then Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. And now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, wrote. Isaiah, by the way, was a contemporary of Uzziah. And so Uzziah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of burial, which belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. Then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. And something radical occurred at this time in the life of Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah 6 begins with these words. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Uzziah had been such a strong king, such a towering, dominating personality in Isaiah's life, that it wasn't until God took Uzziah out of the way that Isaiah was able to get his eyes on God and see God in all of his glory. Leadership is vital, but a leader can cast a long shadow. And at times it's only when he's gone that folks can look past his influence and see God for themselves.
A key theme throughout Scripture is prayer. Prayer is how the Israelites communicated with their Creator, and how we still today stay connected to our Savior. 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." God expects us to come to Him, even in our brokenness. He hears us and hears our repentance from the sins we've committed. God doesn't condemn us for our sins, though. Instead, He forgives us and begins the work of restoring us. This road we walk with God won't be perfect, for as humans, we are inclined to sin more than once. We can turn to God every time, though, and renew our relationship with Him again. We hope today's message on Sandy Adams Radio has been a blessing to you and has given you a lot to think about. Pastor Sandy will return soon with his verse-by-verse study in 2 Chronicles. But in the meantime, you can access more of his teachings through our website, sandyadams.org. Be sure to visit the Articles tab to read reflections on Bible passages and Christian ministries from Pastor Sandy. We'd love to connect with you, so find us on Facebook and Twitter and join the conversation. That's all we have time for today. Tune in next time for another edition of Sandy Adams Radio.